Hello, Bulls fans, and welcome to an unexpected episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I am your host, Mark Lewenthal, and with me, as always, is Fred the Dr. Pfeiffer. Fred, what's going on, buddy?
Well, what's going on? I mean, there were rumors for this Derrick Rose trade over the last few weeks. I, for one, did not expect it to happen. I really am shocked that the Bulls pulled the trigger on this trade. I'm probably more shocked that they got a player of Lopez's quality. I think Lopez is a good defensive center. I think he's a good player, and I think they got more in return than I expected. I remotely expected for Derrick Rose. I love Derrick Rose. He had a PER last year under 15. He's going into the last year of a huge deal, and he can walk wherever he wants next year. So therefore, I didn't expect if the Bulls were going to trade him, I didn't expect the Bulls to get anything in return. And I feel they got two rotation players in Calderon and Lopez and potentially a good young player in Grant. I'm just shocked at the return, and I'm a little bit more shocked. Well, I guess I'm not shocked because no matter what Pax and Gar do, I think people are going to be angry. But I think the return for Derrick Rose was much more than I expected. You know, that said, it's still a sad day. Derrick Rose, you know, is a great kid. I've always loved the kid. I think he's been unfairly criticized for the past few years, and I wish him nothing but the best. I will like to say, anybody really, if you're really concerned about Derrick Rose, if that's what your concern is, if you love Derrick more than anything else, isn't he better off in New York next year next to Melo and Porzingis than he'd be in Chicago? Isn't that better for his future? A team that really seriously needs a point guard instead of this, you know, mess that we kind of have here. Is it Jimmy's team? Is it Derek's team? I think this is potentially a good trade for both parties. I really hope Derek does well. But even I, as a Derek Rose fan, I would not be comfortable or not want him back next year with the knowledge that he'll be a free agent. And I did not want the Bulls signing him to another long-term max contract because I don't think that contract will be good when Derek's 30, 31, 32. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, Fred, we had to get rid of Derek at the end of the day. I mean, you're right, this season was really, for me, the final straw, not because of his play, but because of, you know, it's the expectations here every year, probably because he was what he once was, and you just every year it was just this huge distraction. Derek Rose, even when he was healthy, it was a distraction, and you know, like you said, I wish him nothing but the best. I would love to see him prosper in New York. It would be a little tough to watch, but, you know, I certainly was with you at the end of this year that I did not want us to re-sign him to a long-term deal next year under any circumstance because it's just he's had a million opportunities. He gets injured all the time, and he's not the player he was before, but it seemed like he wasn't a great fit with Jimmy. So you got to put your stock into one of those players. Jimmy's young. He's locked up. He's clearly the future of this franchise. And, you know, I mean, I think that we're going to have a dip at point guard. I don't think that this makes us necessarily a better team. Yeah, I agree with you. Robin Lopez, I think, is going to be a good fit for us. We needed a big man who can, who's a good defender. We needed that. I mean, I think that this is the writing on the wall that Noah will not be back. This is kind of his replacement. But at this point in his career, Robin Lopez is probably much better than Joakim Noah. Now, is he a difference maker? No. Our team offensively right now is way worse. We'll see what we do, but we're gonna have a lot harder time getting to the hoop and making easy baskets without Derrick Rose. I mean, that was something that Derrick could do. That was something that I thought he did well last year. I thought that Derrick did a great job last year of reining his game in and getting to the basket and making easy shots. And I mean, there were glimpses of some of the things that made him special in the first place. Look, Derrick is one of my favorite all-time Bulls. Of the last, since Jordan, he probably is my favorite all-time Bull, and no matter what happened to him, I just hope that fans in Chicago, you know, his time was over, and he didn't have the career that a LeBron had, or, you know, Curry had, obviously. He didn't have the career that we wanted him to have, but that doesn't take away who he was, and what he meant to this city for a brief period of time, and I mean, it was a brief period of time. He's our Penny, if you will, but, you know, I have roses on my arm surrounding my Michael Jordan tattoo, and, you know, it was for D. Rose. Now, at the time that I did it, I didn't want to get some, Derek symbol or something on my arm because I didn't know what he was going to become. But I had enough faith in what he had been at that point that a few roses on my arm didn't hurt my feelings. That's the first thing people are asking me today, Mark. What are you doing with your arm? Are you chopping it off? No. I
That's
I'm
right.
happy with what he
that.
Did. But the point about it, though, is that this will always serve as a memento to me of that amazing season. And that amazing season he had in 2010 was the best season I've ever seen a player in a Chicago Bulls uniform have besides Michael Jordan. It's the best one I've ever seen. He was a very, very, very special player. And we were lucky to see him, even if it was brief. Those guys don't come every day. And I hope that it's obvious when you see these drafts and you see, look at who won the championship last year. Look who's made 6 freaking NBA finals. You got to get that player. And it's not like every year in the draft you find that player. For every LeBron James, you know, 6 Anthony Bennett's or, you know, an Andrea Bargnani or whatever, just dudes that don't end up being that great or that franchise changer. And, you know, it's very rare to get that. We might not in our lifetimes have another player on the Bulls that was as good as Derrick Rose. We might not. So all
probably
that I
not.
Want.
Yeah, probably not. Big picture, I think that's what people also need to keep in perspective is how good Derrick was when he was drafted and Rookie of the Year when he came to his team. It was like a shot of adrenaline after a horrible season in 07 and 08. We get him with the first overall pick. They make the right pick in acquiring him. And he just, you know, basically him and Gordon single-handedly carried the team into the playoffs for that fantastic 08-09 run against the Celtics of 7 games in Vinny's second to last year. And then I thought he had another good year following year. He fought through some injuries. Had another solid year. We did make the playoffs again, lost Cleveland in the first round. And then 2010-11, you just saw it coming. You saw him getting better every year, and it just all came together with the addition of Korver and some pieces around him that made the team much better, and it opened up some room for him to work. He was a force of nature. And that's what was so impressing about the whole thing to me, Mark, is that, you know, you only live once, right? You only get this opportunity once. I remember doing shows back then, talking about during that season, like, hey, the future's now. Everybody acts like, you know, he's going to be at his prime and when he's 27, 28, 29. That's when most players have their prime. But I was making the point then that Derrick is such a physical force of nature that's what really separates him, and that any injury would potentially, you know, bring him a little bit closer back down to earth. And I just felt like we didn't really take advantage of the opportunities we had in those years when he was healthy. And, you know, just everything changed in that Sixers game. That Sixers game was huge, you know, where he went out, obviously, with the torn ACL. And I do also think that was part one, and that wasn't obviously Derek's fault. But part two, in retrospect, was him sitting out the entire subsequent season. And, you know, I defended him at the time with that decision. But I think even if you ask Derek now, looking back, on that decision was a mistake. You know, Yvonne Schumpert hurt his knee, same injury on the same day. I think he came back in January of that season. Might have been a little bit later. And looking back, that might have been the closest Derek will ever get again to another championship or another title, right? How often do you get in the second round? You know, nothing is promised to you. And he had guys on his team and B.J. Armstrong telling him to sit out, don't play. Don't come back, and he listened to them. But in retrospect, I think that was a mistake. The Bulls fully expected him to come back, and he chose not to. And, you know, at the time, like I said, I defended him. But, you know, I think it's entirely possible Derek could go the rest of his career and not be able to, you know, get into a second round of the playoffs.
He may not be able to make the playoffs. Now, look, I think this is a great trade for the Knicks. I mean, just because Jimmy might have an, we don't really know with Jimmy, you know, what Jimmy is yet. We don't really know, you know, we'll see now, because now it's totally Jimmy's team. We'll see what Jimmy makes of the situation. But, you know, he does have two guys. You know, you have a proven guy in Porzingis who's good, and obviously you have Carmelo Anthony. So, you know, do I think that they're going to be a great basketball team because of this? No. But if he can, you know, if they can find the right mix between the three of them, I think there's a chance that they could be a much better team. I mean, there's a chance. But it'll be interesting to see what happens to the Knicks. I agree with you, though, Fred. It's a good trade for both of them. And, I mean, again, at the end of the day, I think it was just we had to get him out of Chicago. I think there's too much pressure playing here because of who he was and what he meant to this team at one point. He was never going to be that player again. And it's just – I think you're going to see now if he has it in him whatever he has in him, I think you'll see now what that max can be, because I do think it was a distraction when you have guys like Joe Crowley or just media in general, man. The fans were ruthless. Everyone was ruthless to Derrick Rose. It was as if they almost wanted him to fail. And the way that the media covered him for the last 4 or 5 years was not supportive. It was not something where they wanted him to be. It was as if just for the story's sake, that it was a better story that he wasn't the player that he once was. So I hope that the city of Chicago is happy. It made me sick to be a Chicago basketball fan during this period of time when Rose was rehabilitating. It was just, it was sick, because as a Bulls fan, I wanted him to play well. And you just saw people knocking him down when he didn't do anything yet, when he hadn't come back or whatever it was. Every time he tried to make any sort of stride, there was people that would be the first people there to try to knock him back down again in the media. And, you know, for the last 2 seasons, he's been relatively healthy for the most part. And it's just, you know, whatever. I mean, he just, it is what it is.
So, Mark, I think you kind of touched on the issue a little bit, in that last year, the second half of the season was the best Derrick Rose has looked since 2012. I felt without a doubt he had his greatest stretch of sustained fantastic basketball since that period in 2012, and it didn't correlate to wins. In fact, it correlated to losses and the worst stretch of the Bulls basketball team, arguably in the last 6 years. So that question needs to be analyzed and asked. Why did Derrick playing so well not correlate in the wins? And to me, it's clear. It's all you can be found in the one stat, which is in 2000, his MVP year, Derrick had, I think, over 20 games where he had double-digit assist games. Last year, he had one game with double-digit assists. Why is that? Did Derrick suddenly forget how to pass? No, that's not it. It's the defense isn't reacting to Derrick Rose in the same way that they did in his MVP season, and that's because he's just not the same force that he was then. He doesn't draw a double team like he did then. He doesn't draw the attention he did then, and he's just not the same player. All you have to do is watch a game from that era and see the athletic. It's awe-inspiring how good he was athletically. He's not that player anymore. He's a poor three-point shooter that you can afford to guard, that you can guard now on with basically single coverage. You know, he may hurt you with that, but you don't really need to double him anymore. You just need him to shoot the mid-range jumper, force him into long threes, and you got Derrick Rose taken care of, you know? I hate to say it's true. And I thought defensively this year he wasn't good at all. So, I mean,
maybe he'll be better on a team where you've got two other proven scorers now. I mean, maybe that's what he needs. So I guess we'll see. I mean, maybe that, you know, he needs the floor to be opened up for him, because he can't make that his own anymore. And you're right. I mean, just look, if you want to see the difference in a game of how Rose was then and how Rose was now, why don't you go watch the Eastern Conference Finals in 2010 and watch how they defended Derrick Rose versus how the Miami Heat defended Derrick Rose this year? I mean, just go watch that. I mean, double teamed on every single play, constantly trying to trap him. He was able to create opportunities for his teammates because of the attention that had to be paid to him. That's not the case anymore. So with the Knicks, you know, I don't think anybody's going to take the attention away from Carmelo Anthony. So with him, Porzingis, you know, whatever. Maybe Rose will be able to get enough open lanes where he's able to do his thing, because he's still going to be an effective basketball player. And I agree with you, Fred. I thought the best stretch he's had since his injury was the second half of this year. You know, for his sake, I hope he's able to build on it. I hope he's able to get some respect in New York. But, you know, I think this year, Fred, beyond the play, his attitude, I mean, I do think that he had kind of a lax attitude at this point. I think that he had kind of resigned himself to the fact that he wasn't the player that he once was. I think it was evident in his comments. I mean, pretty much it was evident that, you know, just whatever, family, his kids, thing like that, you know, that was what was really important to him, not getting injured, that being able to attend his son's graduation, you know, whatever. It just seemed like when you heard comments that he had kind of resigned himself to the fact that he was happy with who he was now, and that might not be the same player that he once was. I think he even knows that. And the fact is that once the player knows that, that's what it is. Let Derrick be the player that he's going to be. Let him define that on another team of what he's going to be between now and the end of his career. Then maybe, I mean, you've had a lot of guys that have been able to play big roles on a team, kid at the end of his career. I mean, guys where they weren't as good as they once were, but they were able to redefine themselves. Sean Marion, you had a bunch of guys that have been able to reestablish themselves towards the end of their career.
There was one period with Derrick that really just, that I did find a little troubling, that bothered me, and that was this season. When he had an elbow injury to his left elbow, and he missed a few games. And this was at a key point in the season, the Bulls were struggling for the playoffs. And I distinctly remember, I think it was a Houston game. He either played a few minutes or didn't play at all. I can't recall what it was, but your elbow, it's arguable that if you're going to have an injury to your body and you're a right-handed basketball player, your left elbow is probably where you want it. Get a shot and play the game. Like, you had Gasol on a bad knee. You had Butler out there on several injuries playing in those games. And, you know, that was the one time in his entire career where I was kind of disappointed there. And I understand his viewpoint, too. You know, hey, I don't feel like playing. I can't play my best. But also, hey, the team just needs you to get out there for a few minutes, right? Even if you can't dribble with your left hand. We're underhanded here. Come out and help these guys in a key stretch to try to make the playoffs. And he sat out, and part of me said, what are you saving yourself for? You're not going to be 27 again. It's going to get better when you're 32 or 33. Your athleticism goes. I hope when he goes to New York, that attitude changes. Like, hey, I'm playing. I'm playing no matter what, especially if it's an injury to your left elbow. Get a shot and play. I understand if it's a knee or a leg with the history that he's had. Sure, don't play then. But if it's something like a left elbow, gosh almighty.
At this point in his career, too. Like,
play.
Yeah. When it's like, okay, your third year, fourth year in the league, that's one thing.
Derek, this is what defines you. Your play, how you play in the playoffs. And you just lost an opportunity this year. You didn't make the playoffs. And you have you're partly responsible for that. You too. Jimmy, you're partly responsible for that. And Gasol, you're partly responsible for that. You guys are the leaders of the team, and you didn't make it happen. So he played much better in the second half, but he did bother me when he missed those games due to the left elbow injury, and he didn't play well in the first half. He was terrible. I understand he had an injury that sent him behind, sent him back in training camp. But for people that are, like, outraged about this trade, I do go back to saying, is Derek better off with Porzingis and Melo, or is he better off in Chicago? I submit, if you really love Derek, he's better off in New York, and he's going to do fine there. But if you're a Bulls fan, also realize, I think this is good for the Bulls. You know, this is now Jimmy's team. We'll build around him. I'm fine with even trading Jimmy, right? If that's the next plan, I'm fine with that, too. I'm fine with either or right now. But I do feel like Derek had to go. I really do. I do feel like there wasn't a future for him here with his past in Chicago. Mm-hmm. It wasn't realistic that we would offer a max deal. It would be insane for the Bulls to offer him another max deal. It would just be crazy. And, I'd leave that for someone else, and I hope he does great in that deal. And I'm proud of everything he did in Chicago. And I do love the kid. He's a good kid and a good person. And in the long run, that's the most important thing. But this shouldn't be, the Bulls again, the Bulls suck. Do we have to turn everything to that? Really? If you want to go cheer for Tibbs, pound sand and go freaking cheer for Tibbs. Because Tom Thibodeau is part of the reason that Derrick Rose, I don't care what anybody says. Yeah,
I agreed.
I'll say it. He's part of the reason he's walking around like he is today. You know, it pissed me off again reading about when he had those toe injuries in 2012, he came back, played two games. He came back from a toe injury and played 80 minutes over two games. You don't think that had anything to do with his injury, subsequent knee issues? That's fine. If you don't want to believe it, that's fine. I do.
I do, too.
I have a problem with it. And I think Noah's career is prematurely ended, will be ended due to his playing of how he played him. And Butler, in a recent interview on Bill Simmons, said as much, right? He did say as much. He's not going to go out and admit it. Hey, I have no problem with none of those guys are going to say I shouldn't have been playing 48 minutes. But he said so in so many words, saying how tough it would be, how tough it was to guard guys in both ends, one end and still score on the other end. So, go ahead, go cheer for Thibodeau. If Thibodeau doesn't change his ways, he's going to ruin Towns in the long run. He's going to ruin all those guys. So, if you don't want to be a Bulls fan, go pound sand.
Well, I'd also like to say two more things. Well, one thing. At first, I own two Derrick Rose jerseys. And I just want to say that I will still proudly wear those jerseys. I wore one of them yesterday, in fact. I will continue to wear them. I'm proud of what Derrick did while he was here. He is a big part of our history, especially over the last decade. And, whatever. I'm proud to be a Derrick Rose fan. Secondly, look, this team was not a great three-point shooting team. We never have been. And now that Derrick Rose is gone, you can at least get a freaking point guard that can hit threes and help you spread the floor. And that will change things for Jimmy Butler. That will change things for this team. We were at an extreme, it was just with the two of those guys out there, neither of them can shoot from range. It was a huge, huge, huge liability for this team. And the fact was we were never going to get any better. Look at everyone. Look at what threes mean. You look at a team like Golden State, look at a team like Cleveland. I mean, when Cleveland was hitting their threes in the finals, they were staying in these games. They were winning these games. When they were not hitting their shots, they were out. Threes can get you going when the team's not going. Threes can get you back in the game. They have a monumental effect. That seems like they're only one more point, but they have a monumental effect on the game. And we cannot have our whole backcourt, especially point guard, not being able to hit threes. Like, he's not a good passer and he can't hit threes. And that's tough. To have a point guard that can't do those two things, well, I think we're going to be able to find a point guard that can hit threes and pass the rock better than Derrick Rose could. I do not think we'll find a point guard that can score the ball as well as Derrick Rose can, but we're going to have to make up for that in other areas, especially with losing Pau Gasol this year. At this point, this team is not better than this team was last year. They're not. Especially if you don't have Joakim Noah, you're not going to have Pau Gasol coming back. This team's not better. We'll see what else they do. But if this team's rebuilding, I guess we'll find out maybe on draft day over the next month or so if they get rid of Butler or what they do, what their kind of plan is overall. But, as far as where we are right now, we're not a better team. They still need more pieces. They need scoring.
No, they're not. I mean, there's still work to do. But you know what? We got some money off the books and
Not really. Because Lopez makes $14 million. Rose made $22 million, but I don't know what these other two guys made. But, you know, first of all, Calderon sucks. He was good like 5 years ago. Like, Calderon's not good. He was really bad this year. So, I mean, I don't think we got anything in Calderon. He'll be on the team, but God willing, man.
Hey, the Bulls can go for Mike Conley. What do you mean? I understand. My point is, now they have...
Fine.
They have addressed the need that they were going to have to spend some of their cap space with Lopez. So now you can afford, you have your center position wrapped up now, I believe. You don't need to spend money, $15 million, on Zaza Pachulia. You can go out and address another need now. And I tell you what, if it's between Mike Conley and Derrick Rose, I hate to say it, I'd much rather have Mike Conley than Derrick Rose.
At this point, don't you think, though, that this really is us moving forward, Fred? Because if we came back with that same backcourt, you knew you weren't going to re-sign Derrick Rose to a max deal. So if you had those two guys back again next season, it's just a lame duck season. Like, we wouldn't have re-signed them. We're just kind of waiting. And, I mean, at least this puts the wheels going. And look, Robin Lopez is a good player. He's not a great player. And, you know, I mean, whatever. You saw how good he was on the Knicks last year. I mean, the Knicks sucked. We'll see how we're not a great defensive team. So we'll see how he fits on this team. But you need a guy like Robin Lopez. We didn't have a guy like Robin Lopez. I agree with you, Fred. First of all, if you played Derrick Rose at all this year, and you traded him mid-year, towards the end of the year, you would not have gotten a Robin Lopez for him. So, whatever. You got something. And he's a piece. He is definitely a piece, Robin Lopez, that you can have on your team starting. And, you know you're cool at that position. Not great, but you're fine. So, the fact you're able to get one of those pieces, we got more to do, but at least you can move forward and start making this team what it's going to be. How old is Jimmy now? 26? 5?
He's 27, I believe. Maybe even.
Is he 27?
I don't know. Big picture is Jimmy's team will build out around him until if they make a trade, we'll do another show.
You don't want to be wasting years of Jimmy's career. At this point, you knew the time was done. Get rid of Rose, move the team forward, and that's what they're doing. It's a good move. I'm sad to let him go, though. I'm sad to see him go.
It is a sad day. All right, man. I got to hit the road.
All right. Until next time, today, both.
Hey, basketball.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon, bud. Bye.